Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I've fed enough mosquitoes in my blood this week, so next year you'll have more mosquitoes back because I supplied enough for many families. And I figured I'd take one for the team. But this morning we're going to continue our lessons we've been going through, and we're going to be looking at, I believe it's, I don't even know what lesson four maybe? Position and practice is the title. And there's three verses that you might want to commit to memory or keep in your memory banks in the future. But these Ephesians 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." In Ephesians 5:8, says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." I like that verse. It says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light." It doesn't say now ye are light because of your good works, or now ye are light because of yourself and your good, what you do. It says, "But you are, because that now ye are light in the Lord." We can do nothing without the Lord, isn't that right? And it's because of Him that we can do good, because we have no good in us of ourselves. And then Hebrews 12:6-8, we talked about it last week. It's the verse that talks about being chastened by the Lord. And if we're not chastened by the Lord, then a lot of times we don't draw close to Him. It says, "For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons." And we talked about the importance of being chastened by the Lord. It's meant to draw us closer to Him a lot of times. Make us better, not bitter. But before I start, let's have a word of prayer this morning. Dear Lord, we look into Your Word again this morning, Lord. I just ask that You would give us strength and help us to listen on purpose, Lord. As though this might be review for a lot of folks, Lord. And I appreciate those who put the effort into looking at this study ahead of time before they came this morning, Lord. And just help us to love You more, Lord, at the end of today than we did this morning. Lord, we love You, I just pray that You be with the rest of this service, I ask in Your name. Amen. But another essential thing in the Christian life is to understand the difference between position and practice. And basically relationship and fellowship. And there'll be comparisons in here this morning on a child and his family, or just the family network and how it works. How a father loves his son, but if his son disobeys, the father doesn't feel like running over there and snuggling with the child when they disobeyed. Do they still love him? Yes, they still love their child. But there needs to be a little discipline going on there. And then a restored fellowship. And we'll get to those things this morning. But there are a lot of Christians that have become discouraged or even shipwrecked from failure to understand the truth of what we're talking about this morning. This almost happened to Harry Ironside. the famous Bible commentator. He began his Christian life as a zealous member of the Salvation Army, believing their doctrine of a second blessing, of sinless perfection. Harry set out to obtain this experience. He fasted and prayed and sought God at as earnest as he knew how. Finally, he went out into the world, into the woods, determining to stay as long as necessary. And he experienced what he thought was the second blessing. He returned to the Salvation Army meeting and stood up and testified that he had found it. Soon, though, he realized that the old man was still present in his life. And he became so discouraged that he had a breakdown and ended up in the hospital.
Yes, sir.
He determined to forget about the Christian life since it didn't work. But God sent two believers to instruct him properly in biblical sanctification. He was then able to establish his Christian life on a proper foundation and go on to be very fruitful servant of the Lord. You know, when we put our faith in the Lord Jesus and his blood cleanses us from all our sins, the price is paid in full, and we are as white, we have white robes of righteousness before his eyes. But as we walk the Christian life, we still stumble and fall and come short of his glory, and we sin. And there's no way we can reach sinless perfection on this earth. I always like the example of we're Christians and we're walking through this world. If you were to walk through a field full of prickly bushes and you came out the other side without a single prickly bush on you, I would be amazed. You're going to get some stuff stuck on you as we go through this world. And if we think that we are completely sinless every day of our lives and we can reach sinless perfection, we're going to be miserable people, because it's not going to happen. We can strive for it, but it's not going to happen.
Yes, sir.
Relationship and fellowship. The believer has been adopted into God's family as a son because of Christ's blood. Galatians 3:26 says, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus."
Mm-hmm.
And this new relationship will never change.
Yes, sir.
Just like a son and his father. There is always that relationship, and he'll always have that last name. It will be the same. You know, you're part of the family. Although sometimes the parent might want to kick you out for a while, but you're still part of the family.
Yes, sir.
And this new relationship will never change. It is a gift that was purchased at a great price. God will never kick the believer out of his family. At the same time, in this present world, fellowship with God depends on whether or not I walk in the light. Walking in fellowship with God is the subject of 1 John.
Mm-hmm.
If you have your Bibles, go to 1 John chapter 1. First John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So if we walk in darkness in our Christian life, and, you know, if we walk in darkness, I might have fellowship with the Lord. But this does not change my relationship with him. God does not throw us away. He spanks his children to bring them back into fellowship with him. Hebrews 12, 6 through 10. I just read this morning, talking about how he chastens his children. Relationship and fellowship can be illustrated by human relationships. And I was born into my father's family, and I am his son. Nothing has ever changed that. You know, there were times when, you know, I might have disobeyed my parents or my father, and like I say, we didn't have the love connection there where we felt like sitting down and hugging each other by any means. But this love was always there. My father still loved me and yearned for fellowship with me. But I had to show him that I was sorry for what I had done, and that I'd show reverence to him in the future, and that I still depend on him. And the same is true with us and God. You know, if God sees us continually rebelling against his word and against what he says, you can be sure that you're going to have some struggles coming, because he doesn't like disobedient children. It will only go so far. But he still loves us. He doesn't throw us away. Position and practice can be looked at standing and walking. Another way to discern this the position and practice, or standing and walking, is to consider the book of Ephesians. The first three chapters describe the believer's new position or standing in Christ, whereas the last three chapters describe his practice or his walk in this world. The key phrase in Ephesians chapters 1 through 3 is in Christ. Like I say, in and of ourselves we can do nothing, but it is in Christ that we should have a desire to do his will and to do the good works he wants us to do, to be a light. What's the song that the kids sing, you know, the candle, hide it under a bushel? No, I'm going to let it shine. Yes. How can we let it shine when we're walking in darkness? There is a number of references there. I recommend you take some time to look at them, but in each one of those verses, you'll see the phrase, in Christ. In God's eyes, the believer is in Christ. He's forgiven, justified, declared righteous, redeemed, adopted, and given eternal life. The believer is blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. The verse we read this morning in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. This price was Christ's own blood. Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. So the position we have in Christ is steadfast, it's sure, it's unchanging. In chapters 4 through 6 of Ephesians, the subject changes to the believer's practice in this present world. What are we supposed to do once Christ comes into our lives? What are we supposed to do in this world? I mean, that's why I say we have a hope, because a lot of people spend their whole lives searching for some fulfillment, something to fill that void where they just feel like there's no reason, no purpose for life. But after we've accepted the Lord tells us clearly that we have a purpose in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're walking in the light and obeying Scripture and obeying His Word, we should have more joy than we can contain, because we know what we're doing is everlasting purpose and meaning. If the believer doesn't walk in obedience, he does not have the right fellowship with the Lord. If he walks in sin, he displeases the Lord and grieves the indwelling Spirit. Ephesians 4:30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. When we sin, we do not lose our position in Christ. That has been settled and sure, and it's eternal. But it breaks the fellowship with the Lord. The two aspects of the Christian life are seen together in Ephesians 5:8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. The believer is a child of light. It's a present possession and position that was purchased by Christ and received as a free gift through faith. Since we are children of light, we should walk as children of light. In other words, since we are saved, we have eternal life and are children of God. We should live like it. Can somebody turn this folder, Mom? I guess I'll have you do it. Can you tip that up? Yeah, that's good. Thank you. So in conclusion, if the believer does not understand these things, he can become very discouraged when he sins. Those who believe that a born-again child of God can lose his salvation do not understand this clear teaching in Scripture. The fact that the believer's position is not affected by his daily walk is no excuse to sin. We have already seen in the passages and studies before the terrible consequences that sin has on a believer, and how the fellowship, when it's broken, is it grieves the Spirit. We've also seen that it is possible to be a professor of salvation without being a possessor of salvation.
Yes, sir.
But, isn't our day so much better when when we know that we have a good relationship with the Lord. You know, we're supposed to keep short accounts with God. And that doesn't mean you have to pull over to the side of the road as you're driving down the road and have to close your eyes to talk to our Heavenly Father. You can talk to Him anytime. Keep short accounts with Him. You know, it's like, Lord, do you think I should be doing this? Is this going to be pleasing to You? And He'll tell you. And some people have more sensitive consciences than others. But you shouldn't be putting others down, other Christians down, if they don't do something. Because they tell you, look, this just doesn't seem right. If their conscience and the Holy Spirit is telling them that this isn't right, then that's probably not right. So by way of review, we'll just look at these questions fairly quickly this morning. We read about a gentleman in the beginning of this lesson who tried to obtain what? Henry Ironside. He tried to achieve sinless perfection. And I know some Pentecostals that used to witness to me, and they were good friends with me, and this one lady said that she honestly believed that she had no sin in her life. No sin whatsoever. And it made me, I don't want to say bitter, but it didn't make sense. And I said, how could you go around telling people that she had no sin in her life? And I said, no, I don't think that's right, ma'am. But you can think that you do, but I guarantee you somebody will point out to her that she does not have, that she does have sin in her life. But number two, how did God help him to become grounded in the truth? What happened to this man that thought he could have holy perfection? That's right. He had some Christian brothers that came alongside and said, look, brother, let me show you from Scripture where you erred. They didn't just chuck him out of the church and kick him on the street. Kick him to the curb, they say. They came alongside and showed him, not of their own wisdom, they showed him through the Word. About sanctification and how it's a process. It's a process in our lives as a Christian to learn how to grow closer to God. And that we cannot ultimately achieve sinless perfection. But number three, what verse says the believer becomes a child of God by faith in Jesus Christ? It's Galatians 3:26. For ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Number four, what is the subject of 1 John? The main theme of 1 John. Not everybody all at once. Like, you can't even count all the hands. It's walking in fellowship with God. We serve a living Savior. I love how 1 John 1:1 starts out. I'll have you turn there. Just because it's kind of applicable. We read a song. We sung a song this morning I've never heard us sing before. But you can't disagree with God's Word. And I love the way 1 John starts out. If I was a witness of the Lord Jesus and I had seen Him, and I was to pen down on paper what I had seen of Jesus and tried to convince somebody from a totally different place in the world about my Savior, these words, I love it. 1 John chapter 1 John chapter 1 starts off with this. It says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifest, and we have seen it, and heard witness, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifest unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full.
Yes, sir.
Just, what more can you say? I mean, you got somebody say, look, we've seen Him. We've touched Him. We've heard Him. He is the Savior that the Scriptures talked about. In because we are following what He says through His example, your joy can be full like ours. I mean, it's not some copper god that they made and stuck up on a pedestal. I mean, this is the Lord Jesus Christ that they had seen, they had touched, they had heard. And they're just trying to pour out into words on paper the fullness of the joy that they brought, that He had brought to their lives. And I just think it's a wonderful passage where, I mean, what more can you say? If you were a witness to something that happened, it's like, look, I've seen it, I've heard it, I've touched it, believe me. Question 5, what does God do to His children when they sin? He spanks them. Basically, that's putting it into Yankee terms or whatever. He chastises them to make us better, not bitter. Number 6, how is a relationship and fellowship illustrated by human families? It's kind of a parallel to what how our relationship is and fellowship is with the Lord. Yep. Father and Son. You know, when your child misbehaves, do you like to go spank them? No, probably not. At least don't smile when you're doing it.
Yes, sir.
But you're doing it for their own good. Number 7, what is the theme of Ephesians, of the first 3 chapters of Ephesians?
In Christ.
In Christ, absolutely. It's our new position in Christ.
Yes, sir.
And number 8, what is the key phrase in those chapters? It's in Christ, as Wonderful Wanda just said, told us. And what was the price that was paid to place the believer in Christ? It was Christ's death.
Yes, sir.
It was nothing of ourselves. We did nothing to deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank You for Your patience with us as Your children. Lord, we thank You that You gave us a comforter to help us, Lord, as we walk through this life trying to seek and do Your will, Lord. Lord, just help us to be more in tune with You and help us to walk in the light, Lord, as You are light. Lord, we love You and just we thank You for this day. Thank You for the opportunity we have, Lord, because persecutions are growing more and more around this world and it's going to be here soon. But Lord, thank You for letting us worship You freely and openly here in this country. Help us not to take it for granted this morning. We ask in Your name. Amen.
Amen.
You can swing it right away, Stephen. Thank you. Okay.